Hello, everybody. This is Georgianne Hughes, and this is The Bite Show. And we're very blessed to have Tom Mack with us. And Tom holds an MBA, and in computing, he holds an A+ and a Net Plus. You can write to Tom at 201 Raton Street, number 111, Trinidad, Colorado, 81082. His website is whitestonefoundation.org. And today, Tom is going to talk to us about the soul. Hi, Tom.
How are you doing today?
Oh, don't ask.
Uh-oh.
What is this about the soul?
Okay, basically we got to ask the real basic question. And this is one that people have mulled over and dealt with almost since the beginning of time. It's basically, who are we? Where did we come from? And, you know, there's a battle of ideas out there. A lot of people have different theories. The two basic ones is that man in his present form evolved from more primitive forms over millions of years. It's called evolution. And ever since Charles Darwin proposed it, and you know, the strange thing is it's the original evolution theory is only a small part of a huge book that he wrote about what he did. And these people just grabbed it, ran with it, and suddenly it's force-fed in our schools, even though they're not supposed to.
Yeah.
And most students, they never hear the other side of the coin. They only hear the theories of dozens of crackpot scientists who, and I say crackpot literally because if they believe this, what does it mean for the rest of their science? Because this is not good science. There's so many ways to disprove it, and we could spend the whole file doing that, and I'm not going to right now. Besides, you have people much more qualified in your guest list that could do a lot better job than I could. Well, what I'm going to stay with, well, basically, let's take the second alternative. And that is that God created man on the sixth day of his creation process. People don't realize that creation is a process. He created the heavens and the earth on the first day. He separated the waters on the second day, and et cetera, et cetera. Gets to the sixth day. He creates man. And he creates him in his own image. Now, that's an interesting thought of itself, because for a lot of people, they sure don't think they're, or feel like they're gods. But, you know, surprisingly, there's a lot of people in the prosperity movement who take that scripture and claim that in some ways we are. But the basic teaching of evolution, let's try to make a little sense of it. Evolution is a theory developed by man to account for human existence. It isn't based on a lot of science.
No, it's not based on any science. I mean, monkeys are still monkeys and sharks are still sharks.
Because each one has its own biological signature.
Yes.
Each one has its own set of chromosomes. You can't change the number of chromosomes of a man, a plant, or an animal have. But the real problem with evolution is time. Time is the magic wand of evolution. If we give evolution enough time, we can create countless species. In fact, I could put my finger in my cup of water over here. They won't let me drink coffee anymore. And I've created a new species. And given a few million years, it will evolve. Next thing you know, we've got a new flies, new termites, whatever else you want to find. Because evolution insists that we believe in time. And also, evolution is, the theory itself, is compatible with Newtonian physics. And we've talked about Newtonian physics in the past. It's the natural way to look at how things work. But what about time? Newton says time is linear and that world events can be drawn up in a straight line. But you know something? Einstein looked at it and he came up with the theory of relativity. And when you consider the theory of relativity, it obliterates Newton's notion of linear time. Because Einstein looked at time as not linear, but curvature. And it's surprising because Newton was one of the first inventors of calculus, which is the mathematics of the curved line. Yet, he draws a straight line when he does time. Einstein says that you have time is curved, and sometimes time moves faster than other times. And it's easy to notice, but people are never taught that. And it's because most teachers don't understand it. Einstein is a very brilliant fellow. Well, one of the things that you could give him credit for, he did believe in God. He was a good Jew. He wasn't great on the marriage circuit or anything, but he was a brilliant man. And so, if you look at man, Newton would say that man's a physical being. He doesn't have a soul. He doesn't have a spirit. He has instincts which guide him on his walk through life. He has desires and emotions, some good, some bad. But the man's mind is a purely physical element. You know, it's basically the brain, and the brain is gray matter, to use sort of a basic term about it. I know a doctor could tell me a whole lot more about it, and we could spend another hour talking about it. But basically, it's electrical impulses that generate ideas, thoughts, anything you could think of. But on the quantum world, man is more, in fact, let me tell you another thing. In the Newtonian world, animals don't have souls either. But in the quantum world, yes, they do. In fact, every animal, every human being has a body, a soul, and a spirit. And you definitely see that. And as we go through this, you will see that even your dogs have a body, a soul, and a spirit. But the interesting thing is the soul is a connector. It connects the spirit to the physical being. Man's ability to think, feel, and make decisions about himself comes from the soul. And quite frankly, the body is just a physical manifestation of a spiritual being. Now, how many times have you heard that in school?
Well, it's kind of like a container.
Yes, it is. It's definitely a container. That's why when you read in 2 Corinthians 5, you will learn that eventually the day will come when God will discard this body of flesh and he will give us a new one. And this new one will be different. But we will still be able to identify each other. So, and I would suggest people, as they listen to this, they pull down the PowerPoint presentation or the PDF, and because I have a couple of diagrams in here to try to help people understand. So mankind was made with a spirit on the inside, the deepest part of you. The soul is the first wrapper. It's a spiritual wrapper. And then the body, or the flesh, as the Bible likes to call it, talks about a second physical wrapper. But inside the soul, you have your mind, you have your will, and you have your emotions. And already I can see some of the listeners saying, oh, come on, Bible doesn't teach that. I beg to differ. Let's go to Psalms 139:14. I'll read it to you. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wondrously made. Marvelous are thy works, and my soul knows it well. Unfortunately, most of the time they say, most of the modern translations obscure the word nephesh, which means soul, and they change it to heart. And the only one I found that did it right was the Geneva Bible, done in 1599. And that, it's amazing that it would take that old a Bible to get it right. And, but that's not the only one, because if your soul knows these things, what else does it know? Or what else, how else does it function? Let's go to the next one. Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinketh in his heart, and that word heart should have been translated soul, but to the translators it didn't make sense. For as he thinketh in his soul, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee. But his heart, which we'll talk about in a little bit, is not with thee. Let's go to another scripture, Esther 4:13. Then Mordecai commanded to Esther, think not with thyself or within your soul that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews, because Haman got the Ahasuerus to sign the proclamation to kill all the Jews. Because Esther, a Jew, Mordecai told her, look, just because you're in the king's palace doesn't mean they're not going to come kill you. And then finally, Proverbs 19:2. All that also, that the soul be without knowledge, it is not good. So the soul is sort of a container of knowledge. Okay, soul is the will. Let's look at a few more. Job 7:14 and 15. Then thou scarest me with dreams and terrifiest me through visions, so that my soul chooseth strangling. Here, Job is choosing. He's making a decision. Here's another one, Job 6:7. The things that my soul refused to touch. Here again, his soul is making the decision not to touch something. Psalm 77:2. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. And if you see the PowerPoint presentation, I put the actions in blue. And the soul is the emotions. And surprisingly, there's a lot of scriptures about the soul having emotions. I'm just going to give a few. Psalm 35:9. And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. Don't tell me there isn't salvation in the Old Testament. How do you think Paul and the apostles, the rest of the apostles, explain this. They didn't have the New Testament. It's in the Old Testament. Everything we teach has a basis in the Old Testament. Here's Matthew 26:38 from the words of Christ himself. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Let's try Song of Solomon 1:7, totally different ball game. Tell me, O thou, whom thy soul loveth. It's the soul that makes a man love a woman and a woman love a man. It's their soul. If you don't touch that man's soul, or you don't touch that woman's soul, you're never gonna get anywhere with them. Let's go to Leviticus 26:11. And I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. This is God himself. God has a soul too, by the way. Jeremiah 13:17. But if ye will not hear it, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride. And Isaiah 15:4. You go to the end of the verse. His life, which should actually be translated soul, his soul shall be grievous unto him. Sometimes you got to be careful because the translators are not consistent. And just as a extra, the soul has appetites and desires. Deuteronomy 12:20. When the Lord thy God shall enlarge thy border as he promised thee, and thou shalt say, I will eat flesh, because thy soul longeth to eat flesh, thou mayest eat flesh whatsoever thy soul lusteth after. See, there you go. You got a desire and you've got an appetite. Proverbs 27:7. The full soul loatheth a honeycomb, but to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. Here's another one. Proverbs 13:25. The righteous eateth to the satisfying of his soul. His soul is being satisfied. But the belly of the wicked shall want. Here's another one from Proverbs 25:25. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. But you know, the Bible also talks about the heart, and there is a difference. There is a Hebrew word for heart, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But the heart has mental functions. Then sent I unto him, saying, There are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. He makes stuff up in his own mind. Psalm 142, which imagine mischiefs in their heart continually as they gathered together for war. Let's go to Genesis 6:5. We've talked this one before. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So the thoughts and the imaginations of his heart were evil. Interesting. Believe it or not, the heart has its own will, its own decision-making process. And the congregation brought in sacrifices and thank offerings. And as many as were of a free heart, burnt offerings. Basically, they brought these offerings to the Lord of their own free will. That's 2 Chronicles 29:31. Exodus 35:5. Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it. Here's another one, Judges 5:15. For the divisions of Reuben, there were great thoughts of the heart. So the heart can think thoughts, in fact, independently of the soul, as we'll learn in a little bit. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, and that seek him with a whole heart. Interesting. The heart seeks after God. And the heart also has emotions. Behold, my servant shall sing for the joy of heart. There you go. But ye shall cry for the sorrow of heart, and shall howl for the vexation of spirit. Interesting. That's Isaiah 65:14. Romans 10:1. Let's do a little New Testament for a minute. Behold, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Psalm 55:4. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. And Isaiah 63:17. O Lord, why hast thou made us to err from thy ways, and has hardened our heart? Remember Pharaoh's heart was hardened? So it's a little more and he just made a bad decision. His heart was hardened. And if you get right down to it, the issue of man is the condition of their heart. That's where it all counts. In fact, the soul is a container for the heart. And here I'll give you a couple of scriptures, so I'm not just saying it. Ezekiel 11:19-21. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. And I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances to do them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. But as for them who walketh after the heart of their detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their way unto their own heads, saith the Lord. Let's try Ezekiel 44:7. He seems to understand this better than anybody else in the Old Testament. In that ye have brought into my sanctuary strangers, uncircumcised in heart and uncircumcised in flesh, to be my sanctuary, to pollute it, even my house, when ye offer my bread, the fat and the blood, and they have broken my covenant because of all your abominations. Ezekiel 44:7. So you can have a circumcised heart, or you can have an uncircumcised heart. It's your choice. And this is a famous one. I mean, I've heard 100 preachers quote this. Jeremiah 17:9-10. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked, who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. You know, people will quote the first part of the verse, but they don't read the whole sentence and the whole thought. But you know, there's hope. If you go to Ephesians 3:16-19, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with the might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. I put the whole thing in there, but will suffice to talk about this for the moment. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Let's try Galatians 4:6-7. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Let's try 2 Corinthians 1:22. Who hath sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Romans 5:5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. You see, people, Paul had this understood, did much better than anybody else. He understood that the Spirit of God can send His Holy Spirit into your heart. He can send the Spirit of Christ into your heart, and He can change you. You don't have to settle for what the original is. The Hebrew word for heart means center. That's why I said that the soul, or the heart, the center of the soul is the heart. It is the Hebrew word lib, Strong's number 3820. And if you will look, 525 times the word is translated as some form of heart. 12 times it is translated midst. 12 times it is translated mind. But it also can be translated as consider or wisdom. A lot of this depends on the NICUDs or the vowel points and what they tell you, because the vowel points differ sometimes. But also other translations include comfortably, considered, regard, bethink, care, friendly, and so forth. But again, a lot of theologians think the heart is the center of the soul. But here's the interesting thing. The soul appears to have knowledge. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy work, and that my soul knoweth right well. Psalms 139:14. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul. Proverbs 24:14. But the interesting thing is, understanding comes from the heart, within the soul. Isaiah 6:9-10. And he said, and this is Isaiah being called to minister as a prophet, and he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. Interesting. Which is why to be saved, you have to believe in your heart. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. That's in Romans 10. And Mark 11:23. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he saith. And, yeah, I know all prosperity preachers quote this one constantly, but you have to look it in context with everything else. Man was created in God's image. People, they think of it, but they don't understand it. Because Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Some people say that when he said us, it was God and the sons of God working with him. Sons of God that would fall at a later time. Genesis 2:7. And the Lord God formed a man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And at that point, man became a living soul. And it wasn't until God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, then he became alive, and he became something real. Also believe he did that for every one of the animals. But, as you might guess, because of all this, there's a battlefield. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob, and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Jeremiah 31:11. I won't quote all of this, but in Ephesians 2:1-7, we learn about how we can be renewed in our hearts and in our souls, and we become followers of Christ. We got to make the changes. And unfortunately, a lot of people don't make the change. So they still have the heart of stone. Here's the scarier thing. The soul can be fragmented. O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me, and deliver me, lest he tear my soul like a lion, rending it in pieces, while there is none to deliver. But here's an important part. People quote this and they don't quote the rest. O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there be iniquity in my hands, if I reward the evil unto him that was at peace with me, yea, I have delivered him without cause to my enemy. Let the enemy persecute my soul and take it. Yea, let him tread down my life upon the earth and lay mine honor in the dust. So basically, if you got iniquity in your heart, you're open to having your soul torn, ripped up in pieces, and taken from you. And people, that happens to people. And as you might guess, okay. And also in Ezekiel 13:17-23, I would advise people to read the whole thing. But I'm going to hit the highlights. And will ye pollute me among my people for handfuls of barley and pieces of bread, to slay the souls that should not die, and save the souls alive that should not live? And by your lying to my people that hear your lies, wherefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I am against your pillows or amulets, wherewith ye hunt the souls to make them fly. Basically, they can separate your soul from your body, and I will tear them from your arms, and will let the souls go, even the souls that ye hunt to make them fly. Basically, somebody can extract your soul. And in fact, many church organizations do just that.
Yes.
Because that is how they get control. That's how they get people to come week after week after week. And it isn't just churches. Every cult does this. Every false religion does.
It's true. Look at people that they say have multiple personalities. SRADID victims, where they have been conditioned and fragmented.
Or even more to the point, programmed.
Yes, yes.
Okay, let's take that implication a little further. When you Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh, and I have it on tape, I was amazed he would say it. But since that time, I've heard other gurus say the same thing, that they want to separate your soul from your body.
Yeah.
Because once you take the soul from the body, a human being has no way to reach their spirit.
Right.
That's why you can take them to the most anointed evangelistic meeting you can find. Aren't many of those, but there's still a few. And you have some of those guests on your program. But they can hear the message and they won't respond. And I've had people ask me time and time again, what do I do about Aunt Susie? She will not respond to the gospel message. Well, what do we then do? We're going to help them get their soul back. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. But people can, they can even trade their souls away. Listen to this one, Matthew 16:26. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul?
Yeah.
Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?
Oh.
You see, people will build themselves a financial empire and they will put their souls in that financial empire. What happens when that financial empire collapses?
Oh.
What happens to somebody like Bernie Madoff, who created a financial empire, admittedly on a house of cards?
On fraud.
Yeah, on a house of cards.
Yeah.
And when that house of cards collapsed, what happens to him? He's just a body walking around with no soul.
Yeah.
Because he's put his soul into his houses and his art and everything else he had. But it isn't something that's totally something you can't stop. Here's a prayer from Psalm 35:4. In fact, we're going to quote three verses from Psalm 35. It's probably a good read for a lot of people. Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that divides my hurt. Let's go to verse 7. For without cause they have hid me from their net in a pit, which without cause they have digged for my soul. Here's an even stranger one. Go to verse 12. They rewarded me evil for good to the spoiling of my soul. Sometimes they don't extract it. They just corrupt it. And one of the things that happens when people lose their souls, that's when evil spirits can be inserted. And when evil spirits are inserted, they actually take the places that your soul was supposed to have. So when somebody, or when you get into a situation, let's talk about the basic one. Let's say you see some member of the opposite sex. They look hot. If you were normal, your will would say, no, 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 you don't do this. And you know enough to say no. Look, but don't order. In fact, Jesus said, don't even look. Because if you look, you've already ordered. Even if nothing ever happened. And so, you got to be careful not to cross the line. But if you get an evil spirit of lust in you, they'll get you looking all the time. And eventually, lust is going to bring in fornication. And eventually, guess what? You're not going to be able to say no. And once you cause that problem, then you have another issue. Because suddenly, when you meet up with a member of the opposite sex, and or even with the same sex these days, once you have that sexual intercourse, you create a corruption. And the witchcraft, which happens to be in that other person's body, comes into your own, and vice versa. So these people would go out and pick up other people. They're asking for a lot of trouble. And when some of your friends who do deliverance have to deal with these people, it becomes a horrible thing for them. And deliverance does not come easy. In fact, many times they'll have to tell them, no, you got to go home and fast for at least 3 days. Because fasting isn't a great way to lose weight. In fact, you probably won't lose a lot of weight. But what it will do is it will bring your soul under subjection. Because believe it or not, some evil spirits actually feed on the food you eat. So, the soul is a very important thing. And Satan and his devils seek to extract it from you so that they can put something else in. One of the things we've seen with a lot of satanic ritual abuse is when people undergo it, they pick up fear almost every time because it's such a frightful process. And when they bring in fear, that becomes a lie that they believe. And once they bring in fear, then they can start compartmentalizing. They can bring in a whole list of spirits. Next thing you know, you have schizophrenia. And that becomes a nightmare for anybody trying to deliver them. Because you have to take them back, let them see the lie that started it all, which is usually a fear event. Once they see the fear, they can deal with it. And in this case, the only hope they have is the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. Without the Messiah, there's no hope. And these people can go to psychologist after psychologist after psychologist. But unless you have the Lord, it's not going to work. And you see that. And in fact, one of the ways that Satan often gets people subjected is to get them to believe something that isn't true. And the best example I can think of that is, let's say you're going on a hike in the forest and you pick up a stick because it looks interesting. And then when you pick it up, it turns out to be a snake. You know, obviously, you, for that very, very moment, you have an emotion of fear. And because you get that emotion of fear, you're afraid to pick up another stick because you think it's going to be a snake. But I can tell you, I've been through a lot of forests, and I have yet to pick up a snake. But it does happen. But the thing is, if he gets the lie in there, then he can start building his little kingdom inside of you. That's why Paul often talks about the temple of our body. There's other ways too. Sad part is sometimes tobacco does it, especially if people really get a desire for it. Or if they bring accursed items into their home. And there's a lot of that these days. You bring that accursed item in, you're also bringing an evil spirit. And the first chance or first time you make a mistake, that jumps from the object into you. And suddenly you have a lot of problems. And suddenly you've got to go get somebody to cast it out. And eventually people get to the point when their souls are so polluted or extracted that they actually become a traded commodity. If you go to Revelation 18, 12 to 14, the merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all fine wood and all manner of vessels of ivory and all manner of vessels of precious or most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves, and the last one on the list, and the souls of men. Do you ever think about that it's a traded commodity? And that even though you can go to the New York Mercantile Exchange and see a lot of these things traded, do you ever realize that maybe there's another exchange where they're trading souls? That's really, really a tough situation. And that's when they get brought under control. In fact, sometimes I've heard of actual corporations that will get people to put so much of their heart into their company that when they do this, they sell their soul to the company. And next thing you know, they're just like Hulks. They show up in church so they can look good for their company. They go to the Elks Club to look good for their company. They become Masons for their company. And next thing you know, they're just dead hulks walking around. If you want to use a rather tough term, they literally become zombies. There's a lot of zombies coming around. But it isn't hopeless. One of the last things in my little thing here is a prayer that you can pray for your soul. And I would suggest that people do this for themselves. And then I also set up a prayer for you to pray for others. And I'll pray the prayer for my soul just to let everybody hear it. Heavenly Father, remember you always address the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I claim the full restoration of my soul. I break any and all curses sent against me or brought about by my sins or the sins of my ancestors in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's important to do that. I ask that you send your holy angels and other holy ones to recover the parts of my mind, will, and emotions which have been fragmented and taken from me due to my activities in wrongful sex, music, alcohol abuse, drug abuse, or any other form of idolatry or religious error. I pray that you will cause these soul fragments to be brought back and placed within me in the proper place where they belong. I also pray in Jesus' name that all demonic entities which have were formerly substituted for the fragments of my soul to be cast out now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah of the world and of Israel. And that is something that people really, really need to do. Because for a lot of people, they've put their souls into things. They've created idols. And not only that, if you take certain drugs, abuse them, mind you. If you abuse them, you are asking for trouble. And eventually, your soul is going to be bought and paid for. Because when you get controlled by a drug, you're giving up a part of your soul in the process. That's why you got to deal with it. Alcohol does the same thing. Nothing wrong with a couple of drinks. But when it starts becoming 6, 8, 10, 12, whatever else. In fact, sometimes I wonder about the person that struck my vehicle in 2007. Was he not some kind of a zombie? And probably what's worse, his family had no idea about it. But he became a zombie and the evil spirits controlled. And as you saw in Ezekiel 13, they tried to kill somebody that God said was not ready to die. That's why I survived. If it's my time, I'm sure I would have been gone. The police thought I was gone. But we survived. The Lord is bringing me back. We do these shows. I do research. And we also do the music. And by the way, we have a new website for that. It's called themusicofheaven.com. And if you want to get there, everything's free. I don't charge for a bit of the music. And we've, you know, when we first did the music, and the music, by the way, is beneficial in helping people with their souls. I've seen that many, many times. And then, sad to say, when I've experimented with people on this, I've seen major changes just from the playing of this music. And when I first did this, I was looking for something with entertainment value. Now I've realized there's a whole lot more to this. I've seen people who've had tinnitus in their ears. They play the music through a few times, it's gone. And this is, we're still learning. I've just barely opened the cover on this. And there's things that you can do with this music that are incredible. I suggest you go to themusicofheaven.com and have a look. It's all there. We've got a health section.
It is beautiful music.
In fact, Georgianne has been kind enough to play a piece after the show is over. And if there's anything that can be said, I have a love for music, even though I am not really in a position that I can play much anymore. I do have the computer, and I can create it that way. And the Lord's been very gracious to give this to me. I don't know why He picked me out. There's a lot better musicians out there that can do these things much better than me. But on the other hand, He's created me and trained me for this purpose. Because to do this music, not only is it music that you have to know, but you also have to know the mathematics of it. I've studied a lot of that. In fact, some people have even suggested I was a prodigy in it. I don't see it that way, but when I was a little boy, my poor mother was stunned when she realized how fast I could learn mathematics. And so much so, she called her old principal and asked him, "What am I going to do? This is my child. It isn't like somebody I can teach during the day and send them home. This child lives with me." And
well, Tom, we better cut it there so we can play the music.
Okay.
And everybody, go to whitestonefoundation.org or themusicofheaven.com.
That's correct.
Yes. And you can write to Tom Mack at 201 Raton, and that's Raton, Raton Street, number 111, Trinidad, Colorado. And the zip code is 81082. So enjoy the music, folks.